10, 15.
Back upfield to the 35, to the 40, 45, 50.
Pass the 50.
35, 40.
Pass the 30.
To the 20.
Inside the 20.
You got to be kidding me.
To the 10.
Whoa! He scores!
He's all the way home.
The no flags!
Oh, my God. Holy moly.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
One of the greatest upsets in sports history.
Hello again, everyone. This is the Old College Try. This is your host, Tim Hyland, and joining me as always is my co-host, Mike Unger. Mike, I am not the first person to say this, but this is the most interesting and unpredictable college football season since the unbelievably crazy season of 2007. And I'm not sure if you recall that season. It was the year with the Pitt upset over West Virginia and all the number twos all year losing and upset games. It was a crazy, crazy year. And I think we're back there. And I think it's a great thing for college football.
Yeah, that was the year a two-loss team won the national championship, right?
Yeah.
I believe it. Yeah. It's great to see. I mean, with Clemson losing, Ohio State, we didn't learn anything about them with their Akron game, of course, but Oklahoma struggling. It's wide open, and it is definitely fun for us, the fans.
Yeah. I mean, and like, it's such a cliche at this point. I'm sure we are both consumers of much college football content. And I heard it say in the Packer show, on the Childers New Hustle show, every week where you say like, oh, this slate's not very exciting, it goes to hell.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You're absolutely right. This one was, I'm told, an exciting Saturday of college football because I did not watch any of it.
So listeners, again, so Mike, you were away enjoying some music, correct?
I was actually camping. Saturday. So I went camping in West Virginia on the banks of the Potomac River. It was beautiful, perfect weather. Couldn't have been nicer, but, there was really no TV, cell service, anything like that. It was really getting away. Thanks to a longtime listener, Wade, and his lovely wife, Amanda. They hosted us at their friend's campsite, and we had a great time. But I didn't watch anything. I did watch the Indiana game when I got home on Sunday. And, of course, I've watched Game Day and College Football Final, but that's about it.
By the way, College Football Final is a wonderful show, is it not?
Oh, I watch it every week. And we always talk about chemistry, like the chemistry that Chris Childers and Neuheisel will have on the radio. And I think that Matt Barry, Jesse Palmer, and Joey Galloway have some great chemistry on that show, too. They just look like they're having fun.
Is it scandalous to say, and I love Game Day. I do. I love Game Day. I think College Football Final is better than Game Day at this point.
Well, it's kind of more about
the game.
Highlights. Yeah, it's more about the games, which I love. I did watch Game Day this week from Chicago, and there were, as always, some good stories, and we'll get to the targeting aspect that you have on the agenda here later. But Game Day, it almost is like a ritual at this point.
Yeah.
You'll have it on. You might not watch it all closely. You know, there are certain segments you'll catch and won't, but it's just kind of a necessary thing to start your Saturday, whereas College Football Final, I sit down and I really watch it intently every week, usually on Monday.
And again, for someone like you, like say you missed the day, you watch College Football Final, you get a very good sense of the day. You do.
Yeah. No, it's great the way they go around. And they'll show you also, you know, just exciting endings or more highlights from a game that maybe didn't mean as much just because it was worthy of more highlights. So we love the work they do there. College football is really the best thing ESPN does.
Indeed. All right, Mike, the week in review, I'm going to take the lead here, of course, because you were camping. Were you Friday, Saturday camping or just Saturday camping?
Just Saturday. Friday went to the Outlaw Music Festival at Merriweather and saw Nathaniel Rateliff and Government Mule and Willie Nelson and some others. That was a tremendous time as well.
So what was fun here? So I'll relate to my reactions to these games, and you can, as an outsider, react to them. First of all, and this is very sad to say, number two Georgia 62, Vandy 0. And again, I watched pieces of this game. Vandy is unbelievably terrible, and you hate to see a team this bad, because can you imagine the atmosphere in that locker room when you know you have almost zero chance to win any game this year. It's been said a million times since Saturday, Georgia could have scored 100 in this game. Vandy under James Franklin was winning 9 games a year. Okay. I know Vandy's got a great baseball program, obviously a wonderful academic school, but they have not made an investment in football. And it's like, if you're going to try and compete in the SEC, I'm sorry, you need to put some money behind this. And Vanderbilt does have money. It's called Vanderbilt.
It's called Vanderbilt. That's a very astute observation. So I attended a Georgia Vanderbilt game in Nashville. The year escapes me now, but it was before, I believe, the James Franklin era. And at that time, there were a good 60 to 70% Georgia fans in the stands there at Vanderbilt. So I can only imagine what it was on Saturday. And by the way, Tim, you say Vanderbilt does not have a chance to win a game this year. They are a 14.5-point favorite this week. Can you take a wild guess of who they play? Think UConn. Of the worst team you can think of.
UConn.
Yep, they're playing UConn, and they are a 2-touchdown favorite. Wow.
We should go to that game, Mike.
That could have been our trip game. Then Nashville. This is the worst places to go. Nashville's a party town.
Unbelievable. Oh, my God. Anyway, yeah, so sad state of affairs there at Vanderbilt, and I think a lot, it's like, shouldn't the ACC and the SEC trade like Vandy to the ACC and send Clemson to the SEC?
And just get past this illusion that, that one conference is one thing and the other is the other. That's not a bad idea. Somehow I don't think the ACC will be doing that.
Number 4, Oklahoma 16, West Virginia 13. A great game. Of course, noted listener Cousin Dave upset with the outcome. Also upset with the coaching by Neil Brown. I didn't think Neil Brown made bad decisions. They hung in there, West Virginia. But this game is here for a reason. Oklahoma is emblematic of this year, where there's so many high-profile teams, and I think the biggest ones are them, Clemson, Ohio State, who have serious issues. And Oklahoma is too talented. And by the way, the fans, I think during this game, were chanting about benching
Spencer. Yeah,
not a good look.
Well, Oklahoma has something that I agree with you, but they have something that Clemson and Ohio State don't have, and that's a zero in the loss column, and that is worth noting. Poor West Virginia, 0-9 against Oklahoma since they've joined the Big 12, never beaten a top 5 team, I believe. That was on the road. They've never beaten a top 5 team on the road. But, yeah, I didn't see the game, but props to West Virginia for hanging in there.
Another one, number 5, Iowa 24, Colorado State 14. Apparently, Colorado State not that great this year. Iowa, who you and I, look, as Big Ten aficionados, know. You know what you're getting with against Iowa, right? Like, you know, on a good year for Iowa, it's, like, going to be a painful game. You're not going to blow them out because they're just, like, tough on defense, good special teams, all that kind of crap. But, like, their offense is terrible.
It is. I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about their game against Maryland on Friday, which is a very, very intriguing game. But, Tim, to tie things back in week 2, I have a final score for you. Vanderbilt 24, Colorado State 21.
Wow.
Shocking, isn't it?
So God knows. And this leads to my next one. So I was coaching my daughter, Leah. I missed the first half, but Penn State, number 6, 38, Villanova 17. Penn State, I think, threw for north of 400 yards, all great. Couldn't run the ball against Villanova. They couldn't run the ball against Auburn, and they couldn't run the ball against Wisconsin. This is an issue. So Penn State, who I think is a legit good team, once you get into a game like they have in, I'll say this week against Indiana, next week against Iowa, you better be able to convert third and threes, and they're not doing that right now. So this is a problem for Penn State.
It is, but don't you think this was kind of a look-past game for Penn State? I mean, not the fact that Indiana's coming in, but after the Auburn game?
In a sense, yes, but again, we should have been able to run the ball against Villanova.
That's true.
and that we were not able to. We have this running back room that's this vaunted running back room, and the O-line is wonderful in pass protection, but cannot get any push up front. And this has been a discussion of Clemson, as you know, Mike, has serious issues in the O-line.
Yes.
It's a thing across all of college football. I don't know what it is, but you have to be able to run the ball against Villanova if you're going to be a college football playoff team.
And real quick, Tim, Villanova, leading up to this week, can you settle something for our listeners? Is it or is it not in the city of Philadelphia? I heard it all week that it was.
They like to they'd like to brand themselves as a Philadelphia team. They play their basketball games down the Sixers Stadium, where it's called, but they are not in Philadelphia, Mike.
That's important information for our listeners, especially in the South.
Do your friends in the South think they're in Philadelphia?
They don't think about Villanova in one way or the other.
They're in a town called Villanova, actually.
See, I didn't even know that. I knew they were not in the city, though.
Number 16, Arkansas 20. Number 7, Texas A&M 10. One of the great stories.
Oh, yeah.
Of the year. Look, this guy, Coach Pittman, an assistant for 31 years.
Offensive line coach for 31 years. There was a lot of good coverage, pregame coverage on game day about this one. And I did see some interviews with him afterward, too. He just looks like the right coach and talks like the right coach for Arkansas, doesn't he?
And, like, he's brought a – it's we'll get to Shiano later, but, like, it's like, wow. Sometimes you, like, don't pick, like, the sexy guy who's, like, wins at whatever level.
Yeah. Just
get a guy who's a football coach and the kids who connect with him, and they clearly do. He's transformed this program that was in the wilderness. They beat the crap out of A&M, Mike. It was physical domination. And it's just the same players that were there 2 years ago. He's changed everything. It's an amazing story. It's like Tom Allen, Indiana, like just changed the culture immediately.
Well, you're right that sexy is not a word that would describe Sam Pittman in any way, shape, or form.
No.
So you're right about that. But how unsettling would it be if you were an A&M fan? It's been such a long, hard slog for Texas A&M to grind their way back up to the level that they want to be in the SEC. And now it appears Arkansas has just zoomed past them in 2 years with less than 2 years with Sam Pittman as coach. I mean, Arkansas lost 20 straight SEC games until they snapped that streak last year. And now it appears as they have just motored right past Texas A&M in the SEC hierarchy. So that would be very depressing for Aggies fans.
I was telling my friends, we were over at our friend's house on Saturday night watching the Florida-Tennessee game with our friends a bunch of later. She's a big Tennessee fan. And, of course, before the game, we're watching this game and the Clemson game. I totally missed my train of thought here, Mike.
That's all right. Let's move on. Remember, we're doing a short show this week.
Yes. All right. NC State 27, number 9, Clemson 21. I texted your good friend, Ryan Tozier, during the game. I am so befuddled by what's happening at Clemson right now. I watched most of this game. Clemson looks, Mike, and I say this not to be mean to your compadres, they look terrible. They look terrible. This is NC State. This is not a world-beating team. Clemson has no confidence.
That's true.
They can't make a play. DJ's not looking good. Dabo looks like he has no confidence.
Yeah, he looks befuddled. And now you have to really worry. I mean, this is a program that is used to contending for national championships. They're clearly out of the playoff. They're not even a very good team at this point. You know, how low can this season go is something I think I would be worried about if I was a Clemson fan. But I think, first of all, the offensive line apparently was not that good last year even, but last year they had Trevor Lawrence and Etienne, two superstars who are in the NFL now. And we got this, you know, expectation that Clemson was kind of a plug-and-play program at this point. But it's clear that at least at this point in his career, DJ is not anything like Trevor Lawrence, and they have no one absolutely no one who can play the role that ATN did last year. So I'll have, of course, a full report on the mental state of the Clemson fan next week, because I'm going down to Clemson for the Boston College game on Saturday.
And this is the thing, too. Like, when I saw Dabo's press conference, and this has happened in, I experienced it as a Penn State fan, right? Where it's like, you were like, all right, you're like always like a 9, 10, 11, 1 team every single year. And then it turns right away. It goes, for us, this was like 2000.
Mm-hmm.
In 99, we were like number one in the country preseason. And then the next year went 5-7. And then it was like 4-6. And then it was like 3-8. Bad. Florida State, same thing, right? Like, it can happen to a program who expects to be great every single year. And this, I said last week of the show, this, them and Ohio State, it feels like a cultural issue. The team is not, it's like they don't understand what Clemson was before Dabo got there and what Dabo did to get them to where they were. They're not buying in. They're not buying in. It's so weird, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. A lot of people are searching for reasons why this is happening, but they don't. I mean, let's even look at the Georgia Tech game that they barely won against, you know, Georgia Tech, and that was at home too. I think people could see a close game coming more against NC State than they could against Tech. But they're in for a battle against a very good Boston College team on Saturday as well.
Yeah, I'll get there. By the way, I will say, in overtime, watching that game, I'm like, oh, NC State knew they could win, and Clemson was like, there was nothing. They had no
cover. Yeah.
That last play, the receiver didn't make a play on the ball at all. He didn't.
I know. I don't understand. Maybe we can, like, what was there an interview with him after or something? Did he lose it in the lights? I mean, I wasn't quite sure what happened there, because the ball dropped harmlessly, like what looked to be like a foot from where he was.
He didn't put his hands out. It was,
yeah, I know. I mean, maybe he wasn't expecting the pass. I don't know. That was a mysterious play there in overtime, though.
Number 10, Ohio State 59, Akron 7. So they covered, Mike.
They covered, and what, from what I understand, Akron got out to a 7-0 start. I had a little coin on the Zips plus the 50. And I didn't watch it or follow it. But when I heard the next day that Akron was up 7-0 and still didn't cover a 50-point spread, I was a bit surprised.
All that being said, hey, congrats Ohio State for covering 50. But they had a player that week, a linebacker, going to the transfer portal on, I think, Wednesday or Thursday, and then had a player quit during the game.
During the game, he trotted off, and then I think he was tweeting during the game as well about how he was gone.
And now, his tweet was not complimentary about Ohio State football.
So are these the issues you're referring to?
There's something going on there with Ryan Day and that program too. So we'll see. Ohio State has issues to fix. Number 11, Florida 38, Tennessee 14. So I watched the entirety of this game. This game was analogous to my son Jack's high school game on Friday. Tennessee, for a half, hung in there. Okay, played hard, did everything they could. In the end, Florida was more talented and pulled away.
Yeah.
My friend Katie, who again grew up in Tennessee and is a big Tennessee fan, it's like, it was so cute to see her, like, every big play for Tennessee, she was like so excited, and she had like this hope that it could happen, and then seeing it like, oh, it's not going to happen, was a crushing defeat for her. But I think Tennessee, that for them, it felt like, oh, this is a good step forward for them. I do think Florida though is legit.
Yeah, Florida's legit, and I'd like to applaud Katie for being a Vols fan. It's just fun to, when you run into people who are diehard college football fans of those kind of blue book programs.
So she was decked out head to toe in Tennessee stuff. Her oldest son was also like Tennessee hat, Tennessee shirt, Tennessee pants. Her second son, who likes to challenge her, has adopted Florida as his team.
Oh, he's a troll. He's trolling his mom. That's great.
Every touchdown, he was like in her face. It was very.
Oh my God. That's that has a potential to go poorly.
Number 12, Notre Dame 41. Number 18, Wisconsin 13. So, Mike, if you only saw the score, you would think, oh, Notre Dame ran them. bizarre game. It was a close game, and then it opened up in the last like three quarters of the game. It was a bizarre game. All due credit to Notre Dame. Brian Kelly has surpassed Newt Rockne on the all-time list as coaching wins at Notre Dame. Is that amazing or what?
It's amazing. He plays a lot more games. We have to keep that in mind. But, yeah, that's amazing. And even though I saw more than the score, Tim, because I saw the highlight package on College Football Final, and they went out of their way to show us that it was a very, very close game into the fourth quarter, very even on both sides. And then there were some catastrophic plays for Wisconsin. They gave up, I believe, a kick return for a touchdown and then a pick six.
Yep.
And then the game kind of got out of hand. But you're right. It was Notre Dame just keeps winning. They do that under Brian Kelly. They never look like the greatest team in the country. They never look like really even a team that scares you, but they win. They win a lot.
It's got to be said, Mertz is not working out at Wisconsin.
Their offense does not. It looks terrible, and he's been not as good as Cohn since his first game against. I guess it was against Illinois. Everyone lost their mind and about how great he was against the Illini, which I don't know why they would judge a player's performance against Illinois as his bellwether. But be that as it may, yeah, problems in Wisconsin.
Baylor 31, number 14, Iowa State 29.
No comment.
I mean, Iowa State, another, we were all, you know, I was super hyped about Iowa State.
Yeah.
And they fall in the same bucket as Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, not living up to expectations whatsoever. It's certainly not,
but they were not used to, they're a team that not used to having expectations, a la Indiana, same thing happening to the Hoosiers. And I think they probably lost a lot of confidence in that Iowa game because that's such a huge rivalry for them.
Yeah.
They hear, you know, they know, probably know all those guys on the Iowa team, and they got whooped against Iowa. I can see why that's a hard thing for them to bounce back from.
Number 19, Michigan, 20, Rutgers, 13. I'll say this. Did you hear Schiano's post-game press conference, Mike?
I did not, but I was not surprised when I saw the score. I knew Rutgers could keep it close. Rutgers is not going to be an easy out. They may not win a lot of games this year, but they're not going to be as easy to beat as they used to be before Schiano. What do you say?
This is my thing. I mean, like we've said this before. He's just a masterful coach at Rutgers, and his post-game press conference was so the guy was like, he was hurting because he knew his kids put everything into that game and they were in that game. And he had told them, you have a shot to win this game. And he was like, look, you know, we played as hard as we could. We got a bunch of boys in that locker room that are hurting. We're going to learn from it and move on. They've got a great, like, he will build something there, Mike. I think he could build them into like the fourth best team in the Big Ten East. He really can. Like, he's just an inspirational leader. It's crazy to me. Like, I don't know why, but he's doing it.
Do you think there's like a big banner that he has hung in the Rutgers locker room that says we can be the fourth best team in the Big Ten East?
But yeah, that's like what, 8-9 wins? Like, that's not the worst.
Yeah, no, they can actually, they can have a winning, they can be a consistent winning team that could pull like one big upset a year and go to a solid bowl. It's kind of like what my Hoosiers are.
Yeah. Number 20, Michigan State, 23, Nebraska, 20. A very close game. Came down to a kick.
In OT.
Sparty's, like, they're dangerous this year, too. So, like, watch out. People have to play Sparty. Does Indiana still have the left, right, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Indiana still has to play them. And so they're right. They're right in the mix for that fourth-best team in the Big Ten East, too. What a race it's going to be.
Georgia Tech 45, number 21, UNC 22. Tech is sneaky good this year, right?
Yeah, it's been fun to see these teams improve. Like, Tech has improved incredibly. Like we've already talked about Arkansas with these new coaches, like Jeff Collins down at Georgia Tech. That's a huge win for him.
Finally, number 23, Auburn 34, Georgia State 24. Very flattering score here for Auburn because they were fortunate to win this game. They really were. I think we discussed last week, Mike, there's so much, we put so much emphasis on these early season results. Like, if you play like X-ranked opponent or whatever, you don't know how good people are though. Okay.
Exactly. I did say this last week and I was like, Auburn played great against Penn State, but look at the rest of their, they played no one else. They struggled very much against Georgia State. And I just don't think Bo Nix is an elite level quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see how that Auburn win looks for Penn State later in the year.
And that's my thing. I'll use Penn State as an example. So all of a sudden, it's okay. The Auburn win, which looked great last week, not so much.
Yeah.
And then even the Wisconsin win.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They lost by 31. So, like, is it that great? But, like, this is every – I feel like the voters look back on the matchups and look at the rankings when they played and take that – into consideration, you know what I'm saying?
That's why the college football playoff polls are not released until, you know, late October or whenever it is, because by then, which I think is very smart, because by then we'll know, hey, you know, Michigan State, everyone thought they were going to suck before the year, and hey, they're a solid team. You know, Auburn or Clemson, look at Clemson, they're ranked 25th this week, and they could, right, they could easily drop out of the polls. And then all of a sudden, is it that great a win for Georgia? You know, you have to let a little bit more of the season play out before you know what are quality wins.
All right, Mike, top 25. You ready?
Let's do it.
Drop from rankings: Iowa State, Wisconsin, North Carolina, and Kansas State.
And Clemson holding on at 25th, right?
Yes, they dropped 16 spots.
Oof.
So 25 Clemson, 24 Wake Forest, 23 NC State, 22 Auburn, 21 Baylor.
Who had Wake Forest being ranked ahead of Clemson in September, still in a September poll before the season started? That is wild.
Neuheisel thinks that Wake Forest is the best team in the ACC.
It's quite possible, because North Carolina has not looked great. Virginia Tech has looked inconsistent. Clemson, as we said, inconsistent. NC State could be in the mix. It's wide. The ACC is wide, wide open.
20 UCLA, 19 Okie State, 18 Fresno State, 17 Sparty, and 16 Coastal Carolina.
Coastal. Well, I'm glad to see that Fresno is ranked ahead of UCLA, because they, of course, they did just beat them. And Tim, by the way, why is this the first week we're not doing others receiving votes when the Maryland Terrapins received some votes?
All right, we can hear. So, we have Texas, 131 votes, Maryland, 91, BC, 55. Who else here? LSU, 24 votes.
Well, I'm just so happy Maryland received votes. I'm actually a little surprised Texas is not in the rankings, because as we're saying, their loss to Arkansas doesn't look quite as bad. And then they hung 70 on Texas Tech on Saturday, which I don't care who you're hanging 70 on a Big 12 team is pretty impressive.
All right, 15 A&M, 14 Michigan, 13 BYU, 12 Ole Miss, 11 Ohio State.
11 Ohio State out of the top 10. That's refreshing to see as well.
10 Florida, 9 Notre Dame, 8 Arkansas, 7 Cincinnati, 6 Oklahoma.
I did not realize Arkansas had gone all that far up, but you want to talk about a season where you have some, you know, new teams involved in the mix. Cincinnati and Arkansas in the top 10. That's awesome.
And also, I will say the top five, Mike, besides the top two, how about 5 Iowa, 4 Penn State, 3 Oregon, and then Georgia, Bama? That's a surprising top five.
It is. And I think, as you said, let's put Georgia and Bama aside. Would it surprise you if any of those other three, you know, lost a few games and wound up, I don't know, ranked 17th or 20th or something? It would not surprise me.
Well, Penn State and Iowa play in 2 weeks. So, like, one will drop. Oregon didn't look great last week.
But the Pac-12 is down as per usual. So, you know, how many games could they conceivably lose? But
it's a crazy year. Mike, news items. And this, so we discussed last week, I did hear feedback from our listeners, many of them, Mike. When I say many, I say like a handful. they agree with our feedback. Like, the targeting thing sucks. And it's not that we want to eliminate the rule in general, but I'm fine with the 15-yard penalty. It's the ejection part.
Yes. Everyone seems – there seems to be a groundswell of agreement about that.
On game day, there was a segment about it. Okay. They had this SEC guy, and unfortunately, he was like kind of like defending the ejection. I felt like he was like, we're changing behavior, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, you've already changed behavior, but the ejection is just unfair. And like, I think, Mike, your plan is brilliant. We both, you now, thanks to me, you love soccer, Mike. There's a red card and a yellow card.
Yeah.
And a yellow card is like, okay, you get a warning. A red card's for an egregious offense. Why not have the same thing in football for targeting? Why not? Right?
I mean, I won't argue with you because it was my idea. Not my idea, but I mean, it's an idea that I champion. And by the way, 30-second aside, Arsenal with their finest performance in two seasons plus, beating Tottenham in the North London Derby. 3 goals in the first half. The atmosphere looked absolutely electric at the Emirates. You could hear it and feel it through the television screen.
That first 30 minutes was unbelievable for us.
It was absolutely unbelievable. All right, soccer talk over. by the way, you glossed past one thing that this – I agree with you mainly that this official was kind of just a shill and a defender for his officials, understandably so. But there was only one targeting call that he said was absolutely incorrect. It was the targeting call against Auburn in the Penn State game. That's the only one he said it was incorrect. And I told you it was incorrect 2 weeks ago on this show after that game. I just want that noted.
But he didn't call the Indiana-Cincinnati one?
No, he did not. He thought the Indiana one. Now, he didn't even make a comment about how the Indiana linebacker McFadden was blocked into the receiver. I think David Pollock was most angry about that one. But no, he defended that call incorrectly, in my judgment.
I did love Desmond Howard was the one who went after him.
Yes.
That was great. I loved it. It's
like, yeah.
We all as fans understand. It's like the rule is stupid. Let's fix the rule. And now.
It did sound like, you know, he's responsible in some manner for looking at adjusting rules after the season. Sounded like they were going to revisit that. I hope they do it because everyone agrees.
All right, Mike, games of the week. Are you ready? This is a pretty good week, I think.
It is. And I'll be dialed in this week. So it'll be a much different show next week.
I would love your thoughts here, Mike. Number 5, Iowa at Maryland, 8 p.m. FS1. Am I crazy to think that Maryland can make this a game?
Oh, absolutely not. Maryland can win this game. Tagovailoa is completing over 75% of his passes. They're the number one throwing team in the Big Ten. The game is in Maryland. You might scoff at this, but it's going to be a great atmosphere on a Friday night. There's been many controversy about when they're opening the parking lots for tailgating for this one. And the administration at Maryland caved and decided to open them a couple hours earlier than they were planning to. It's a Friday night game in Maryland. It's going to be an absolute mess attempting to get there. So the earlier fans can get there, the better. It's going to be a great atmosphere. This is a situation where you're not going to have a lot of Iowa fans there in Maryland Stadium. You would have a lot of Penn State fans. You would have a lot of Ohio State fans probably, but not a lot of Iowa fans. So I definitely think Maryland can beat them. As you said, Iowa's offense really has not been impressive. They haven't faced an offense that can throw the ball like Maryland's. So why not? Why not? Terps could win it.
You said last week that, you know, when Maryland was at Champaign, they were like thinking like, where the hell are we? Same thing for Iowa, like being College Park, they're same thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree with you. Where the hell are we? What time? Why is this game? Why are we playing on Friday? You know, all that goes in Maryland's favor. And the Hawkeyes only a 4-point favorites. So Vegas thinks it's going to be very close too.
This one to me is fascinating. Number 8, Arkansas at number 2, Georgia, noon ESPN. Arkansas has been a buzzsaw. Let's face it. And I know Georgia's front 7 is legit.
Mm-hmm.
But the momentum that the Hogs have, you have to think they've got a shot, Mike.
It'll be interesting. First of all, it's a nooner, which I'm sure will be our top game as we tailgate there in Clemson. We'll be watching this one intently. Georgia, an 18.5-point favorite, seems a bit high for me. But Georgia's really looked like the best team in the country. I mean, they put up these ridiculous offensive numbers against horrible, horrible teams that they played since they played Clemson. But the offense has passed the eye test, that's for sure. You know, if can Arkansas do anything on offense? It's an interesting question, but you're right. Their defense has played very well too. So it's all of a sudden, this is a top 10 matchup. Is game day going there? I believe.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think they are. They made some veiled references to that, during the show, but yeah, I think it'll be a great game. I would probably take Arkansas on the points with that high point spread.
Number 14, Michigan at unranked, all of a sudden, Wisconsin, noon, Fox. Interesting, Mike. Interesting.
Yeah, Wisconsin has absolutely no momentum. Yeah, game day is going to Athens, by the way. Michigan, a one-point favorite. Seems kind of low, but they have not played away from the big house all year, and they have not really played any quality competition. Wisconsin has to have some real shaky confidence at this point, don't you think? Especially offensively.
And again, when your quarterback is playing not great, that affects everything. It does.
Yeah. Yep. But their defense is legit. Both these teams, you know, have good defenses. You'd feel this would kind of be a low scoring game, much in the mold of the Wisconsin Penn State game.
How about Texas at TCU, Mike? Noon ABC.
TCU hosting the Longhorns, Texas 5-point favorites. They took care of business against their other in-state rivals, Texas Tech, big time on Saturday. Seems like they have a little bit of momentum, but this will be kind of a fun game to watch, I think.
Louisville at number 24, Wake Forest, 12:30 ESPN, whatever. I'm just like, because all of a sudden Wake Forest is getting some love, and Louisville is just... they're Louisville, right? You never know what they are.
that's a good point. They've won three straight since getting blown out by Ole Miss to begin this. And by the way, not ESPN, Regional Sports Network. I think ACC is the last conference that still has some syndicated broadcasts. So God knows what channel this will actually be on. But it could be an interesting game. Wake is getting a lot of love nowadays.
This game, how about this? Number 7, Cincy at number 9, Notre Dame, 2:30 NBC, Mike?
Yeah, that's wild. Cincy, their defense is absolutely for real. They have guys who will be in the NFL, and they're a very, very good defense. But Notre Dame, I mean, what are these guys going to be thinking? Well, Fick will have them ready to go play in Notre Dame Stadium. That'll be wild. But Notre Dame, their offense is rolling. They have a very good defense, but Desmond Ritter, and it's a very should be an awesome game. Cincinnati, 2.5-point favorites on the road against the Irish, so that's clearly the runner-up game of the day.
You have to say what an amazing job Fickle's done there. We talked about this before, but like to be a favorite at Notre Dame,
that's an accomplishment right there. I don't care how the game goes, that shows the level of respect that the gambling community has for you, and that they don't get wrapped up in nostalgia, you know.
Number 12, Ole Miss, and number 1, Bama, 3:30 CBS. I have heard to this guy, Chris Doering,
mm-hmm.
who's on the SC Network.
Yeah,
he's been saying for 2 weeks, and he's like a film guy. We're not film guys, right, Mike?
No,
he's like Ole Miss beats Bama. He's like, no question, Ole Miss beats Bama. And I told you last week, I would love for the non-process guy to beat the process guy. And on one hand, it's like, how can you pick against Bama? Because all the evidence is like they always win. At the same time, this does not feel like the same kind of like vintage Bama team we've seen in the past. And Ole Miss is putting up a ton of points. And Lane Kiffin, for all his other faults, he scores points, right, Mike?
And he'll know how to at least attempt to exploit the weaknesses in Nick Saban's defense, of course, from his time there at Bama. Matt Corral and that offense, they've been incredible. Bama, 14.5 point favorites. This kind of reminds me of when Texas A&M with Johnny Manziel went into Bama. We actually watched that upset unfold at our tailgate, at our annual Clemson trip. And this just kind of has that same feel to it for me. 3:30 CBS. Can't wait to hear that CBS intro music, because that's a great time at the tailgate too. 3:30.
Number 11, Ohio State at Rutgers, 3:30 BTN. What's the line here, Mike?
The line is Ohio State by 15. Are you taking Rutgers?
What's your gut, Mike?
I know you want to.
I do.
My gut tells me that Ohio State, it's a close game in the first half, possibly to the middle of third quarter, and Ohio State pulls away and wins by 20.
A tough pull for Rutgers to have Michigan and Ohio State back.
Yes. Yes. Especially Ohio State is coming off a virtual bye.
Right. Number 21, Baylor at number 19, Okie State, 7 p.m. Yes, fun game here. Okay. Where's Baylor been, Mike?
I don't know, but they're undefeated now. That was just kind of wild. Oklahoma State, 4-point favorites. Both these teams are undefeated, actually. So that should be it should be a kind of a fun one at night.
So, Mike, I'm a worrier. You know I worry about everything, right?
Yes, yes, like my mom.
Indiana at number 4, Penn State, 7:30 ABC. I worry about this game, Mike. I do.
I've watched every play of every Indiana game so far this year, including the Western Kentucky game in which the Hoosiers escaped, and I mean escaped, with a 2-point win over Western Kentucky. Now, Western Kentucky has a good offense, but Indiana was – their strength of our team was supposed to be our defense. And it just – this Indiana team is playing much more like the Indiana teams of 17, 18, and 19 than the team that captured everyone's hearts and imaginations last year. And that's – they're going to be in game. So I wouldn't be surprised if this was a close game. But they seem to have hard times finishing out drives, scoring touchdowns when they need to rather than getting field goals or turnovers, winning games. Like, they should have beaten Cincinnati, but they absolutely did not close it out and win, which is what they used to do, you know, for all those years under Kevin Wilson and others. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Hoosiers – you know, keep this one close. And if it's a close game, but I hate to say it, it would surprise me if they won. The Nits are 10.5 point favorites. Seems a bit high to me, honestly. But I wouldn't worry about it as much as you.
If I'm a Clemson fan, putting myself in the shoes of the Compadres, I would worry about Boston College at number 25, Clemson, 7:30 ACC Network.
Oh, definitely worry about that. I mean, Boston College is coming off a thrilling win over Missouri. And by the way, Tim, I did, on my way camping, I listened to some of your beloved college football blitz, and there were lots of check-ins in Boston College for this game. Sounded really, really exciting. Jeff Hafley is one of the best coaches in the country. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
Boston College is going to go down there believing they can win. And the question about Clemson is, hey, you know, what's the atmosphere going to be there like? I have no idea. Are we going to see empty seats? Are we going to see booing and chanting for the backup quarterback the second, you know, DJ has one bad series? I really have no idea. This is a fan base that's not used to this kind of situation. And it's a team that's not used to this kind of situation. And you could just really kind of see it either go this, you know, kind of see it go either way. So I'd be worried too if I was a Clemson fan. Clemson favored by 16, by the way.
Oh boy. And for this one, I'd be worried both sides. How about number 22, Auburn at LSU, 9 p.m. ESPN. This is a desperately needed win for both these programs. This is a critical win. Critical.
Yeah, I love that. I'd be worried for both teams. That's a classic Tim comment right there. Yeah. LSU minus 3.5, but I would never, ever take Auburn on the road against anybody. Any quality opponent, let alone an SEC opponent, let alone Death Valley on a Saturday night. So I'm quite certain I'd be going with LSU minus the points here.
Mike, our picks last week were what?
Tim, you finally got in the win column.
Oh, I did?
Yes, you took West Virginia plus the 16.5. So congratulations. You're 1-3. I inexplicably took USC minus 12. They got smoked by Oregon State. I guess the Donta Williams era is over, and he won't be they won't be removing the interim tag from his title.
Bobby hit the bumper.
Place bets on college football.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't gamble. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
The Mike Unger 50-50 possible lot, probably loser of the week.
Please hang up and try again.
Tim, for this week's lock of the week, we are going to West Lafayette, Indiana, where undoubtedly it will be gray, probably drizzly. That's the weather. It always is there in football season. It's a nooner, a sleepy nooner. A Minnesota team comes limping in off a loss against Bowling Green. They've looked, ever since playing decently again, pretty well against Ohio State, they've looked terrible. Purdue minus 2.5. They looked good, actually, against Notre Dame. Based on those very minor quote-unquote research points, I'm taking the Boilers minus 2.5. I think they'll win it by a field goal or more over a depleted Gopher team.
Level of confidence, Mike?
I'd say 5.5 out of 10. Not a lot of research went into this one.
What is the Wake line?
The Wake line is Wake Forest. They are hosting, correct? Louisville, they're favored by 7. Yeah, just a little bit more than you'd like to give, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely hear that, because Louisville can score, man. They've got a good offense.
And what's the Auburn LSU thing again?
LSU favored by 3.5.
I'll take LSU.
I agree with that one. I will be taking LSU as well.
Mike, our trip and my unyielding epic failure planning it, I apologize to you.
Yes, let's hear your mea culpa.
There's been a lot. I have a new job. It's very stressful, and it's great and whatever. But
it's great and whatever.
my son has football, and like I have family stuff going on.
Yeah. Fast forward to the key parts. We know why you haven't done anything. Are you going to do something?
So I have something in mind that I think would be pretty cool yesterday, but it would require an extra day on either side of the weekend. So
that's fine.
Would you be okay with that?
Of course. Absolutely.
Okay. So if I can't figure it out, I will default to your backup plan of a trip to Bloomington.
To see the Indiana Rutgers game. That is, let the record show that that is Brian Schlatter's backup plan. he was the one who suggested that to me, and I went, okay. Why yeah. not? Wouldn't be the most exciting trip in the world, but I'd do it, and I bet it'd be fun. But yes, I'd prefer that you come up with something that could top Indiana Rutgers, if possible.
I mean, again, what I have in mind would be, like, I think we would all very much enjoy it, but we will be very, like, the Oregon trip was, to me, like, my favorite trip. But that was some exhausting travel, Mike.
Yes, it was. Well, because we went to Seattle for a day for some reason, too. I can't remember why we did that, but that was fun. But then, I mean, that then we just flew around, turned around and flew from Seattle to Portland the next day.
And then it was Corvallis. I mean, it was a whole
yeah. Yeah. It was, yeah.
Your weekend of college football is what, Mike?
Yes, I'll be heading down to Atlanta on Thursday night. And per tradition, we'll then drive up to Clemson on Friday night at the Lake House Cabin, grilling steaks, half-cooked potatoes, drinking a couple cigars, wake up at the crack of dawn, regardless of the fact that the Clemson game was moved to 7:30. Bojangles, including vodka and warm iced tea, shots in the parking lot. God knows what time we'll get to the parking lots, and then we're going to have an awesome day, full day of tailgating, followed by the Tigers and Boston College. What I'm hoping for, of course, is a blowout in the first half, so I will not return in the second half, and I'll watch the end of the Indiana Penn State game in the parking lot. So we'll see.
Again, for the IU game, like, do you feel like they got a shot?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like they have a shot, but at the same time, I'll be surprised if they win.
All right, Mike. All right.
How much? What about you? You gonna be able to watch some football this Saturday? I commend you on your efforts for watching last Saturday, especially knowing that I was camping. That was good. You got to kind of carry the show today.
No, I watched a lot of football. It was a great day. It really was a great day of football. It really was.
That's good. So I know you'll be watching the Knicks and the Hoosiers Saturday night at least, right?
So my parents will be in town too. So
say hello to them for me, please.
And again, as you know, Mike, there's not a bigger Penn State fan in the world. My mom, she loves them. But she also, like, every play is life and death.
Yes. Yes. I've witnessed it firsthand.
All right. Well, folks, thanks again. Mike, thanks again. And there's one thing to say.
Pachas.
Pachas.
Thank you for listening to the TCFA podcast. For more college football news and wit, visit intelligentcollegefootball.com.